Hello, and welcome back to Tales from Everrune. This is our spell playthrough. We are having a blast with this game. This game is so fun. Every time we play this game, we're like, let's play spell. Like, we're just so excited about this game. Like, I don't know about you guys, but like, I am just stoked every time we play this game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love this so much.
It's really fun.
As you probably know by now, I would hope you're not starting here. But Hannah is our lovely GM for this game, so... Before we get started, I do want to invite everyone to come join us over on the Cast Junkie server, because it's loads of fun, and you should come hang out with us, because we love talking to our fans. Tell us what you think of Spell. Is this a game you're going to pick up? It's pretty cheap, right?
Yeah, it's like 10 bucks, I think.
Yeah, let's go check it out. And now I think we're going to go ahead and get back into it. Hannah, take it away.
Yeah, so go ahead and read our recap from last time. Now, just a disclaimer for everybody, it's been a while since we've recorded in real life, so if there are any discrepancies, please forgive us.
Yeah, been quite some time.
Yeah, it's been some time. All right, so last time, our speakers discovered an orb which turned out to be an ancient artifact preserving the last words of the great dragon before he took a vow of silence. His last words described a prophecy about a child being handed down from the gods that would be the key to ending the reign of the goddess of chaos. The speakers bring the orb back to the high priest who hired them. The high priest explains more of what he believes the prophecy means, that it's been handed down through the priesthood for generations, and that them collecting the artifact was more of a test run to prove their skills to him. He tells them that they've discovered the location of the child from the prophecy, but that he is being imprisoned by an unspeakable. So yeah, that's what happened last time. Does that ring a bell for you guys now?
Yep. Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, and I realized I got a little too excited last time and forgot to kind of tell you the priest's name.
Does he have a name?
Yeah, so you guys are talking to High Priest Itham. And he has two kind of people that are with him, and their names are Aerdyn and Silvar. And they're okay. All elves. They're all dressed in kind of like these golden, red and gold robes for the Temple of Forged Fire Breath. But yeah. So
I know what you actually said was elves.
Yes.
But I heard elves. Elves.
Oh.
Like the letter L. And I was like, yes, L. I understand this. This makes total sense to me. And then my brain kicked in and I was like, wait a second.
Wait. Sorry. I'm a little congested still. But elves. Elves with a V. Yeah, so basically the High Priest Itham has told you guys that, you know, explain what he believes the prophecy means and that they know where the child is, but that the child is being held by an unspeakable.
Okay.
And just to be clear, he didn't actually tell us that part yet, right? That's where we cut off?
No, he
didn't tell us where, though, right?
No, I think that's what we're about to talk about.
He did not tell you where.
That's what I was trying to make sure.
So, did you guys have any questions for him before we continue, or?
Well, I suppose the only question then is, where is this child?
Of course. And he goes over and rolls out this huge map, like across the table. And he kind of points to where you guys are in the city of Dormant Reach. And then kind of takes his finger and kind of runs it across a road and takes you like through a forest and out into not too far away, maybe like by horseback, like 2 days journey, and follows a trail out east and points and says, we know they're in here somewhere. We haven't been exactly able to pinpoint where, but we know they're here.
All right.
I'm just trying to think if I have any other questions before I say something.
Is there anything else we should know about?
I think we're all on the same page. As far as I know, just be careful. This unspeakable is dangerous.
Yeah, he looks, Galador looks over the map and says, aye, it seems as if we have a general area in which to search and keep a watch out for any unfortunate happenings.
Yes, they came into town and we followed them, but they seem to just kind of disappear. I'm not sure exactly where they are in this area.
You said that this unspeakable is dangerous. Do you know anything specific?
No, just highly skilled and have been able to keep this child hidden from us for a very long time.
Well, I suppose we should head out as soon as possible, yes?
Sooner the better, you know, goddess of chaos and all.
Affirmative.
Galador will turn back to the entry, and he knows it's 2 days by horse, but he also knows that if it's 2 days by horse, he can get there much faster.
On dragon, yeah.
Yeah. So he's assuming that they're gonna want to do the same versus let's buy horses and take 2 days.
I don't even know if I can travel by horse.
<That's>
yeah.
<fair.
laughs> Can you run?
Were we able to?
I can run. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Were we able to take the map? Were we able to take the copy of the map, or do we have our own map?
You'd probably have your own map. It's not like an area that's too far away. It would definitely be on a map because it is in the vicinity of Dormant Reach.
Okay. I'd like to think Galador's got his own map, or one of them has their own map. I'm guessing it would be him because he's like, well, I mean, he's been around a bit, but I'm guessing he has one.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would think that they exit the temple, and rather than to, you know, how close are the confines here between the temple and, like, wilderness?
Well, the temple's kind of in the middle of the city. I know before you guys said that you'd probably get something to eat and, like, rest afterwards, because you did just travel all day, but...
Mm.
Yeah.
So we probably would do that first if we didn't do that already.
Yeah.
Well, we did go straight to the temple before. We didn't stop, so...
Right.
Yeah, so I think he'll turn back to the others and say, well, it seems we have a direction, but I don't know about you two, but I could do with some food.
I could certainly eat before we headed out.
I do not require sustenance.
Well, then you can keep watch, I suppose. And then I think he'll just head off down the street looking out for an eatery somewhere.
Yeah, I'm gonna follow Galador.
And I'll follow behind as well.
Do we want to wave? Okay. Do we want to wave the food thing? Or
yeah, we can
go into it.
I think that would make the most sense.
I'd say if you guys are comfortable with just hand waving, kind of like you find a place to sleep for the night and then you know get ready to meet up.
Let's get on with the story.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So you guys eat, you rest up, and you meet up in the morning to get started on your journey.
Yeah, so I think he's going to head toward, at least if not outside the city, a place that's big enough to not crush anything when he makes the summons.
Yeah.
And then he will call it out again, and the same thing happens. You see like this heat haze in the air, and there is a a rift which opens, and out of it there comes his dragon friend. Oh, I love that. That is so cool. That's never not going to be cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
It's very cool.
So then, yeah, he'll do pretty much the same. She lands, he goes up and he kind of, she can't speak, but he can, but I like to think she can understand. So he explains this to her. Hey girl, we have somewhere else to be. It seems that the first was just a test. Do you think you might have it in you to take us a little way? They wanted to... Mr. Priest wanted to ride a suggested horseback, but I think we could do a bit better than that. What do you think, huh?
Most certainly.
So you give your ride a little pep talk there, and
and yeah, I think it's just an affirmative like snort, and there's a few sparks fly out.
Yeah.
And then he will he'll mount it up. Are they going in the same order as before? Or are they mounting differently this time?
I don't see why we would change it.
Okay, so then that would be me at the front, and then Mary in the middle, and...
Yep.
Alpha,
I'll
beta,
be in the back.
Tech, 2-6.
And, yeah, I think he's able to direct according to the map.
Yeah, so you guys head east, and you find yourself eventually, you know, it's much faster to go via dragon as compared
yeah,
to
horses. I would imagine.
So you find yourself going over the forest. It's like a very deeply wooded area. And then there is this clearing that you guys were directed to on the map. From, you know, the vantage point of the sky, you can see that there are like a couple little like groves of trees, maybe like apple trees and some orange trees. And there's just this clearing there.
So there's no, like, fortress or anything?
No. It just looks like a field.
Hmm. I think I'm kind of going to turn to the others and go, you know, I was expecting something more.
Agreed. We're being a possible lair for an unspeakable, but it's entirely possible that that's exactly the point. To seem unassuming and unimportant when in fact it hides something sinister.
We should certainly tread carefully.
That would be most prudent.
Alright. So what are you guys gonna do?
I am going to get off of the dragon and start looking around very carefully.
I have a question for Hannah.
Yes?
If this is the place we were directed to, does the dragon have a... I know it is, sorry. Does my mount have any sort of reaction to it at all, or not? I'd like... Because I'm just wondering
no.
if... Okay, because I'm just thinking that, you know, if they were sensitive to that kind of thing, but it's your universe, so I don't know. Then, yeah, unless she wants to stay around, he's going to direct her that, you know, he's going to give proper thanks, and then she's going to disappear again.
All right.
And he'll be doing the same. He'll be treading very carefully, looking for any sort of identifying marks on the ground or the trees or anything.
All right. Okay. I think this would be... You guys are definitely, like, looking for information. I think this would be, like, an impulse roll. So if everyone wants to, like, choose an impulse... And then make just like, it's like a trait roll. We haven't really done that yet. Like all of our other rolls have been like for spells and stuff, but I think this would be just like a impulse check, so to say.
Okay. Well, I think reason makes sense.
I was about
here.
To say, I think reason makes the most sense for me, at least for what I'm doing. Because
okay.
Alpha Beta Tactu 6 would be trying to find anything out of the ordinary that
okay.
he could then
it
use to deduce information.
It is a difficulty 6.
Okay. Yeah, in this case, I don't think I can even roll because I don't have anything in reason.
Well, no, you can pick a different,
Yeah, you just have to have a reason.
It's all good, I rolled 2 sixes.
You just have
sixes.
To have a reason. Oh. Well, you might find something else using a different
impulse. Ooh, I also got 2 sixes.
Ooh, okay.
Now, scheme wouldn't really work, would it? I'm trying to think of one that can work for me, since I don't have, reason.
What impulses do you have?
I have focus, force, grit, scheme, or style.
I think focus could work.
Yeah.
That's up to Hannah if it works. If it does, I'll use it.
No, I think focus would be fine. You can go ahead and roll focus.
That is a total of 15, 4, 4,
yeah,
4,
well,
and 3.
I didn't roll any sixes, though.
Yeah. All right, well, Andrew and Susanna both got 2 sixes. Not just 1 6, but 2 sixes. So, reason is, like, the idea that a problem can be thought through or figured out, given enough time or resources. So, I think what you guys gather as... Did you guys say anything specific that you were looking for, Andrew, Susanna?
No, I was just looking around the area for anything out of the ordinary. Something
I was
that...
looking for, like, something hidden, I think.
Yeah, okay. So I think you two have this like realization at the same time that there's definitely something here, but it's being hidden by magic. So I think Mary specifically notices a rune carved into a tree nearby, and Alpha Beta Tech 2-6 would notice another rune maybe on a rock on the ground since he was so interested in his rock before.
So we each find a separate rune.
Yeah, you each find a separate rune, but you guys reach this conclusion at the same time, like, oh, something's here. It's just being hidden by magic.
So what does my rune look like?
You're not exactly sure what it is. It's not like a letter of the alphabet or anything. It's just like a symbol, like a rune. Like, you're
Can
not
I
quite
smash
sure what it?
It
is. Sure. It's on a tree.
Okay. I am going to kind of break some of the wood chips off the tree.
The rune kind of, like, glows and then, like, fixes itself.
Huh. Okay. I think I'm gonna call over the others and say, oh, I seem to have found something here.
Quick question. You said mine is etched on a rock, right?
Yeah, on the ground.
How big is the rock?
Can
I pick up the rock?
Yes, you can pick up the rock.
Okay. And it doesn't, like, stop me or anything? Like, moving the rune around doesn't seem to do anything?
When you pick up the rock, the rune actually stays in place, like, on the ground. So you almost, like, lift the rock through the rune.
Oh. Huh. I'm gonna drop the rock then and just kind of look at the rune as it's, like, hovering there. Don't notice anything extra, I assume, though?
No.
Then, so then Mary says this about her rune, and she said, and then, I'll say, I have also found a rune.
Is yours, capable of being pulled away?
It was on a rock, but I moved it and the rune is still there.
Yes, I'm having something of the same problem with this one on the tree.
Hmm.
And, my roll meant I didn't get any since I didn't have sixes, right?
Yeah, correct. You didn't see anything.
Okay, so he's just inspecting, I think he's over by the tree, just squinting at it, trying to see if he recognizes this, rune.
Galador, do you recognize these at all?
No.
Oh, you tell me now he doesn't? Yeah, he's looking at it. I am somewhat familiar with certain runes, but, this one, it's not one that I know. I've never seen this before. Quite curious.
Quite.
Give me a moment. I will see if I can discern anything.
I'm going to use your best insight or whatever it is.
My best inquiry.
Best inquiry.
I'm going to try and look into the spell itself and see if I can figure anything out about the spell by using my own spell.
Roll
spell,
for it.
By the way. let's see here. So that I made that a level 3 spell, so I'll roll 3 dice. And one of those was a 5, so I assume that's a success, right?
Yeah. It would just be like a difficulty.
Okay.
Is it 4? Yeah.
So the way I wrote this one, it's basically I, you know, figure out something useful about the spell itself. Maybe it's up to you, obviously, but maybe I know mm-hmm. what the spell is or, you know, whatever, so.
Yeah, I think you pretty quickly gather, you know, considering you can't see anything and the rune seems to be fixed in place, that this is some kind of concealment, like for a perimeter.
Okay.
Yeah, so you know that this is definitely the perimeter of something and these runes are keeping it hidden.
But I don't know anything about the spell, like how it's created or removed.
I don't think so. I think just you know that this is definitely concealing something and that these runes do mark the perimeter of whatever it is.
Alpha Beta Tactusix looks at the other two and says, this is the perimeter of the spell. It is certainly concealing something in the center.
Yeah, I think upon confirmation of this, he turns toward the center and just reaches a hand out and starts to move slowly toward the middle to see if he encounters any resistance.
You can walk through.
Hmm?
You can walk through just fine.
Oh, okay. So then, yeah, he's heading toward the center.
Okay.
I'm gonna stand at the edge and watch him. Actually, while he's doing that, I think I would probably be rummaging around in my bag because I want to try to do a spell that will reveal things.
Okay. I'll just say, Galador, you walk out to wherever you think the middle is, and nothing happens.
Hmm. Kind of. He turns back to the others. He kind of shrugs. Hmm. Apparently, this spell has removed its mass as well as whatever is visually hidden.
Quite curious.
Yes, come back over here. I want to try something. I rolled a 17.
So are you casting a new spell? So that's the letters you'll draw.
Yeah. Have you
Yes, I've shuffled it. You're
okay.
Good. Interesting start.
Okay, that was not a very good draw. I was hoping for something like show or reveal. I could do meet. I could meet whatever's inside. I could do feet too, but I don't think that'll help me. The problem is I have all the E's and an A. I have no other vowels. I'm rather vowel short right now.
Dent?
I don't know how that helps me very much.
Unless you want to stretch it and say that you're denting the illusion.
Hmm? It could work.
I mean, if that would work, I could do that.
Look, you guys can interpret these however you want. I don't get to say no.
So, you said no a couple times last time.
Well, okay. Not don't get to say no, just if it applies to your original stated goal. Like, if you can make it fit your original goal, then you can use it. It's only changing the goal that I, you know, can say no to, or if it doesn't quite fit what you stated.
I always have fun making random words.
Yeah. You could say the something. I don't know if that helps, but you have make something.
Make. I could say net. I could like throw a net over it and reveal.
I found two words that would do the opposite and would help it be more hidden.
That's not helpful at all.
Haven, deafen.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I've got it, guys.
What?
What?
Defeat. Yeah, that would work.
Ooh.
Yeah, all right. I will defeat the spell. I think because Andrew looked up a list, you have to give me a pun.
You have to give us a pun, yeah.
Okay, ready?
Yeah, okay.
I don't trust stairs because they're always up to something.
Up to something, yeah. Okay, I am going to defeat the...
illusion.
The barrier here.
Okay, you defeat the barrier. So, what happens here is you. How do you think casting this spell looks for you, Mary?
All right.
Let's just talk about that real quick. What do you think this looks like?
You know what I think is actually going to happen? I think what I do is I rummage around inside until I pull out my umbrella, and then I just stand there and speak a spell and then open my umbrella, and it starts raining, and it just like rains through whatever this illusion is. And I just stand there under my umbrella while it's raining this spell.
But does that mean that we're both soaked and you're fine?
Yeah,
under
probably.
The umbrella?
I mean, I'm stoned, so I'm just glistening
so
now.
Matter.
So
I hope neither of you has some kind of spell clothing on because it's gone now.
No, I don't have spell clothing. I'm just soaked.
Yeah. Anyways, I think that's what happens. And then as soon as the spell is over and has revealed whatever it is, I'll put my umbrella away.
Okay, so I think at first this, you know, rain cloud kind of thing starts out small, just in that area where you are with the rune. And it starts growing, and the storm that you've created starts getting bigger and bigger and starts spreading out, like, across this entire, like, field area. And the rain starts hitting this, like, invisible force field that kind of is in shape of a dome around this part of the clearing. And as this rain begins to wash away this spell, the perimeter of this area begins to glow. And so you guys are able to see exactly where all of these hidden runes are around the perimeter. And then as the rain kind of drips down this invisible dome, you guys start to see, and hidden inside is this like little cottage with a nice little farm, like garden sitting outside, and a horse. And as soon as this like dome drops and you guys see this cottage and farm, an arrow whizzes right past your head, Mary.
Uh-oh.
Like right past your ear. An arrow.
I'm gonna hide
by.
Behind a tree.
Okay. Another arrow thunks into the tree very quickly after.
Well, that was unexpected.
Yeah, I think he is going to try to cast his own spell now, Galador, based on that arrow. Did we rule last time that his boundary spell cannot affect other people? It is personal?
I mean, you can use spells for different uses.
Yeah, you can use spells for different purposes.
Yeah, you can make a barrier.
Meet,
the barrier
like,
just couldn't keep the warm in, is what we decided
yeah.
last time.
Okay.
But a barrier against objects is, I think, the point of the spell,
mm-hmm.
so...
Yeah, so he's going to attempt to cast his boundary spell to cover all three of them, if he can.
Yeah, I mean, you'll have to roll your spell and succeed. I'd say a 4.
Did you spend a point to keep that spell?
No, this
that
is
was
one of his starting spells.
Oh, he already
this
had
this is
that.
One of
okay.
my personal spells that
another
I had.
Another arrow starts whizzing by you guys. Nice.
Yeah, he is going to attempt to cast
Thunk
this.
Into a tree.
I need my spell. I need the spell book again. I keep losing it.
And how many is, like, I know this is different from the other spells. How is it different? I can't remember.
You roll however many d6s you have levels in the spell. So whatever level it is, I think yours is 2 or 3. Then you'll just roll.
I had 2 and 2. I evened it, so.
Okay, so then just roll 2 d6s. You did get a 4.
I did. So how well does that function? Does that work, or?
That means it succeeds, so you're able to create a boundary in front of you guys. Okay. So you are able to create this boundary in front of you.
Yeah, I think it just looks like, for him, this one is like, it's kind of an invisible, sort of like the illusion was, but he starts to glow with this kind of greenish light, and then it kind of expands out to in front of them. And I think, is it safe to say it would move when they move or not? Like it's stuck there and can't be relocated.
It's up to you, however it works for you usually.
Yeah, I'd like to think that I was hoping to do like individuals for all of them, but if it's a large-ish area instead. Yeah, I think I'll just gesture to the other two to get behind the barrier that he's just created in front of himself and the others. I like to think it's pretty wide.
Yeah, more another arrow hits the boundary and then kind of, I guess, just like shatters against it since it's magical.
What I'm thinking of is something like, remember that the dome in the second Hunger Games movie? Okay?
Yeah.
But it's like green light, I think.
Yeah, that works.
So yeah, it's like as they're, I think he looks at the other two and he's like, I think we'd better figure out where those little pesky things are coming from.
Can you keep that up as we walk?
I believe I can, yes. And he will begin to slowly move, like, they can probably tell from the angle where the arrow was coming from, so now they're trying to, they're moving closer to the cottage while looking around for this shooter.
Yeah, what do we see?
Yeah, you see this nice looking little cottage. I mean, it looks very cute and picturesque, you know, like something that you'd see in an illustration in like a children's book or something. I don't think you're able to tell exactly where the arrows are coming from at first until another one hits like the boundary again. And you think they might be coming from like the direction of the horse stable. Like you saw a horse earlier. There seems to be a little stable area and you think the arrows are coming from that direction.
Okay. Then he will turn accordingly in that direction and attempt to get closer to hopefully pick out this where the shooter actually is.
I think Alpha Beta Tactoo 6, as we're walking closer, he's just going to say, we come, meaning no harm.
Excuse me, whoever's in there, we would love to talk to you.
I don't think you get any kind of response yet.
If you don't come out, we might have to hurt you, and we'd really rather not.
I think you hear this, like, gruff voice kind of call back and say, I think you'd really rather not.
Oh, I highly doubt that.
Back off, we're not hurting anyone.
We would really just love to talk to you in there. What's your name?
Another arrow hits the boundary.
That's not going to do any good.
What do you guys do?
We can keep walking toward it.
We're moving closer. Yep, if he's not coming out.
I just want to find out what this is.
Alright, so as you guys get closer to the stable, you see this elven man standing there. He kind of comes out from inside of the stable with his bow drawn, and he just has his bow trained on you and doesn't say anything at first, and he says, who are you? What are you doing here?
We're here to find a child. He is in quite a bit of danger.
Oh, is that what they told you?
Yes.
It seems like we both have differing informations here, so if you put down that bird sticker of yours, and I'll drop this, and we talk, huh?
We're really not here to hurt anyone.
Well, there's nothing to talk about if you're here for the child.
What relation are you of him's?
Not your concern.
Or hers.
I suppose.
You said what they told you, implying that you
know
something...
Well, if it's not your child, I don't see as you have any right to keep it.
How's about you explain what you mean,
I suppose you all go back to wherever you came from. Whoever sent you, just tell them we weren't here.
All right.
Alpha Beta Tech 26 is going to ask, we were told an unspeakable had the child.
So what they call me.
Well, you don't quite look like one. I'm gonna roll one of my base spells.
Okay.
It's a level 3, so I'll roll 3.
What is the spell?
I rolled 5s. It's called Tool. It is a set of glasses that I have that allow me to read other people's emotions.
Okay.
So I'm gonna reach into my bag and pull out a pair of glasses and put them on my face and see what that tells me.
So you're able to see his emotions?
Yeah.
I think you see very defensive, some anger, especially at being called an unspeakable. Yeah, just mostly anger. He's upset.
Well, there's no reason to be angry at us. We are only doing what we're told, but we are not machines. We are not ourselves unspeakables. We have our own...
That is not true.
Well, most of us aren't. But you have your own mind, do you not?
Yes.
But the point is, we have our own minds, and we can make up our own thoughts and decisions. We really do wish to talk to you.
All right. Well, what did they tell you? Why are you here?
We were given a prophecy of sorts, and told that there is a child here who can stop the God of Chaos from destroying the world.
We were sent to retrieve on their behalf.
You seem to know who they are, so I suppose we don't need to tell you that.
No. Temple's been out here for years.
Well, what do you think of that?
I think you see him lower his bow, and he kind of, like, shakes out one of his hands. Like, you notice, like, one of his hands is kind of stiff. And, says, what I know about that is that they want to take a poor defenseless child and feed it to a dragon. That's what I know about that.
How do you know such things? Can we come inside? Can we talk?
Not if you're here for the child. As I've said, we have no business if you're going to take the child.
We're not going to hurt the boy, I promise. I would not allow a child to be fed to a dragon. Believe me.
Did they not tell you that's what the prophecy says?
That is not what I would interpret the prophecy to say.
Consumed. You don't think consumed means eaten?
Well, I suppose it was a little unclear about what exactly was being consumed.
The child is being consumed. That's what they didn't tell you, is that the child is going to be consumed.
Well, I'm sure we can find some other way to deal with it.
Right. Fine. You can come in.
Okay. I want to walk inside.
He very hesitatingly disperses the bear. Once he's positive he's seen the guy drop the bow, because...
Yeah, he has lowered the bow at this point.
Yes, he very, very slowly will disperse the barrier, and it just winks out, and then he'll put his hands up in the universal peacekeeping, you know, I'm not holding any weapons, and head towards the door.
And keep in mind, I won't miss in close quarters.
I'm sure.
Noted. Thank you.
So what's it like on the inside?
Yeah, so he takes you into this cute little cottage. And it's just this nice little... It's very homey. Like, there's a fire going with something cooking over the fire, like some kind of stew. But, you know, it seems to be he's the only person inside of the cottage at this point in time anyway.
And where is the boy? Or girl, I suppose. It just says child in the prophecy.
Sorry, Wesley, did you say something?
I was just curious, how high are the ceilings here? Because I'm thinking my character might have to stand hunched over a bit.
I mean, if you do, I definitely do.
Yeah, you guys. Yeah. I might be the only one that's particularly comfortable.
But I don't know if it's... It depends on how big or small the cabin is, so...
It's average size, I guess. I don't know how big a cottage it is.
Okay, okay, if you're gonna say... if you say average, then I think he can stand, but...
Well, I mean, if it's average, it's like the size of, like, a normal house, like, ceiling-wise. Yeah. So, I mean, if you can stand in a normal room, then you would be fine,
You'd
I think.
Be fine.
Yeah, okay, I'm fine. I was just wondering if he had to be all
hunchback.
Always
concerned, like, about the height.
I mean, hey, I know everyone's not a fan of the details, but I am, so.
I'm just teasing. But yeah, so you guys walk into this cottage. You could kind of, I mean, I'm sure you've gathered that he knows why you're here and isn't interested in helping you with that at all, but he'll start getting some bowls and pouring some stew in the bowls and passing them around if anyone's interested.
Oh, I'm not going to eat anything.
Oh, he definitely is interested. He will.
Okay.
He will take it, but he's going to wait to see if the other guy eats any before he eats anything.
Yeah, it's a nice bowl of rabbit stew. He starts eating something. Some. He seems relaxed. He's not worried. He can handle himself, is what you gather.
So, like, standing across from him, Galador will say, "It seems we have multiple interested parties in the future of this child, and certain ones have different ideas about what is to be done, so I will not move any further myself until I hear all sides." He looks at the others. "Agreed?"
"Oh, I am not throwing a child into a dragon."
"Hear, hear. Agreed."
"Well, I'm
I agree that.
That
more data is required."
"Is this your child?"
I think he kind of, like, bristles at that, like, not quite sure how to answer it.
Is caretaker, or her, again?
Him.
"Ah. The prophecy said nameless, so I can't imagine you'd have not given him some sort of name."
"Doesn't concern you at this point in time."
"Well, see, the thing is, there are three of us and one of you. And mind you, I'm not going to throw a child into a dragon. But the point is, we do really need to know some information right now. Because we need to know whether or not we need to take this child back. We don't know exactly how this prophecy is supposed to work. It's an old prophecy. Who knows exactly what it means? But I would love to know more about this boy. And about you."
"Well, what would you like to know, I guess? I am pleased to hear. Don't want to feed him to a dragon. That's the first for me."
"What's your name?"
"Reuven."
"Reuven with a V?"
"Mm-hmm. With a V."
"And do you call him something?"
"We call him Ren."
"Ren. All right. After the bird?"
"Yeah, you could say that."
"So not exactly a nameless child, I suppose."
"Not anymore."
"I'm going to assume, though, he's not yours."
"No, but he was given to me."
"By whom?"
"By the gods. You know, the prophecy."
"So the gods gave you a child and then they just expect him to be eaten?"
"That's what it seemed to me when they told me."
"Why would you accept him?"
"I didn't. What was I supposed to do? Leave a child abandoned on the mountain?"
"I suppose not."
"How did you come to know the prophecy?"
"I came to know the prophecy when it was spoken to me, when I found myself on a mountaintop above Dorman's Reach, being given a child. I don't have any dealings with the gods. It's some twist of fate. I don't know why I was chosen. I was handed a child, told the prophecy it was going to be consumed by a dragon, and I swore I would never let that happen."
"All right. Seems like the gods sort of, a bit misunderstood your role here."
"Yes,
Or underestimated you."
"Chose the wrong person for the job."
"I see. How old is the boy?"
"Well,
12.
He's an elf, so he's a child still, but he's..."
"Yes, quite."
"18.
Ah. That's quite young for an elf." "What?
The name.
Ren?
Yeah.
I don't know what
an
you're trying to
An elf named
with.
Ren.
An elf named Ren?
Fluke Ren.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
I definitely didn't do that on purpose.
That's okay. I figured it wasn't on purpose, but...
It's an alternate universe version.
Yeah.
I think, Alpha Beta Tac 2-6 doesn't want to beat around the bush, and he's just gonna say, "What do you say to the line, 'Fate is sealed, etched in stone'?"
"I was wondering the same thing, actually."
"I don't know. There's parts of the prophecy that are a bit vague, though. I think that one might be the most literal that I can show you."
"All right, well, let's see it, because, if fate is etched in stone, well, stone can be fixed."
And Reuven takes off the glove on that hand that looked stiff earlier, and he shows you that his hand is slowly turning to stone.
Oh.
Okay. Hmm. Weird.
Yeah.
etched in stone.
Are you etched in some way?
Well, you see, when I was on that peak, I told the speaker of the gods, the mouthpiece that I was talking to, that I wouldn't allow a child to be killed. He said I had to. I said I wouldn't. And I was cursed to slowly turn to stone, I guess, the closer the child's destiny came. And the stone's been spreading.
That's strange. Fate has sealed it in stone. Well, I'm stumped.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think what my character might do in this case, because he's something of an authority on dragons, but... yeah, he's not... I'm not sure if he's familiar with this, what he's describing with the petrification or anything like that.
Look, I've been trying to figure it out for years as well.
Is the boy powerful?
He has certain gifts.
Like what?
Well, he can't be burned by fire, for one.
Interesting. Perhaps... Galador, tell me something. Do dragons have fire in their bellies?
Historically speaking, it's rather part and parcel for a dragon. Although, in this case, consumed might not necessarily mean...
I'm just wondering if...
Eaten.
I'm just wondering if he's not supposed to die, is all.
It's to be consumed
by fire. Do you understand?
Yes.
A moment, everyone. I do not like the idea of talking about someone's destiny without them present. Why don't we ask the boy his thoughts? Does he know of the prophecy?
He knows there's something. And then he like quickly puts his glove back on to cover up his hand. He knows parts, not everything.
Don't you think he should be told?
Well, how exactly would you tell a child that people want to feed him to a dragon?
Well, quite honestly, I would just tell him that people want to feed him to a dragon.
It's a bit easier said than
done. I don't really believe
in
lying to children like this.
There's no real way to approach a topic like this in any delicate sort of way, rather to know than not know.
Thought I'd have more time, is all.
I understand. I do think you should let him know. We should talk to him. Don't you think he deserves to know?
Of course he does, when he's older and more trained and ready.
And
he's
may I ask who's going to tell him, if not you? She kind of gestures at his hand.
I don't have this figured out any more than I'd like to. I'd like to have this all sorted in a nice, neat little package, but I don't.
Personally, I'm a bit of an optimist. I think there's ways of getting around things like this. I think there's something we can do. But I think, first and foremost, the boy needs to know. Where is he?
He's out. He should be back soon. He's checking snares.
Then I suppose we'll have to wait.
Suppose we shall. All right, I think that's where we'll have to leave it for this week.
Oh, no.
Waiting for Ren to get back.
All right.